WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going to be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome to another Monday Night Talk. And that's the first show of April, April Fool's Day.
Is that why you have me on?
Well, you know, every now and then I need a fool to be on the show. You just happen to be it, and it's April. So you figure it out from here. Now, Joe Rossi will be hanging out our very first segment coming out of the bullpen, and you are listening to Monday Night Talk. And we hope that you will keep the radio dial set here for the next 2 hours. Joe will be here just to kind of give us an update. I like having Joe on from time to time. He is very valuable, very knowledgeable when it comes to the National Flood Insurance Program. And is, if you haven't been paying attention to the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition website, 59 days until the program expires. So we're going to talk about that with Joe as to what are the long-term hopes. Is it yet another kicking the can down the road for another 90 to 120 days? Or is something actually going to be done? We'll talk with Joe about that. And also we got to get some insight on some conferences that he has attended. A conference that he attended. And some of the information that he was able to glean from it. We'll talk with him about that. We have Ryan McCormick. Ryan is a public relations guy with Goldman and McCormick. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jesse Smollett. You know that name? Of course you do. Jesse Smollett's the actor from Empire, who was arrested for staging a hate crime hoax. Later, the charges were mysteriously dropped. We're going to talk a little bit about whether or not Mr. Smollett can rebuild his career. At 7 o'clock, we'll speak with Plymouth County Sheriff, and friend to the show, Joe McDonald, talk about the upcoming Corey-friendly job fair that's going to be happening in Brockton. And then at 7:30, Jerry Thornton, friend of the program, friend of the station, because I know that it's funny, as Ben, my producer, made a comment, he goes, oh my goodness, it's like every other week it seems like Jerry is in here. No, it's just a mere appearance, Ben. It's not actual.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's always a pleasure to have him.
Yeah, Jerry, of course, the author and a writer for, he's an author of two books and a writer for Barstool Sports. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Patriots off-season since the team won Super Bowl 53, including the sudden retirement of Rob Gronkowski. And what inspired me was last weekend seeing Jerry. He was on with Tom Lydon, who is the sports director for Fox 25, or Boston 25 News, and they do like a little sports wrap-up on Sunday night. And Jerry was in rare form asking Tom for a hug because he couldn't believe that Rob Gronkowski was retiring. We'll talk with Jerry about everything New England Patriots and more, so stay tuned for that. Now, I know we're a couple of minutes before... We have traffic, so we'll wait for, before we check in, but what's new with you, Joe? Joe Rossi, chairman of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition.
That's right, and as you alluded to, just fresh off of a big conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. I can't complain about being out there this time of year, but it was great. It's a conference that I just got off serving on that board of directors for 2 years, and I chair their legislative committee, the group that hosted the conference. And so I have some real interesting insight about something not a lot of people are talking about, although it is gaining traction. And you'll hear this more and more, Risk Rating 2.0. It's big, 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 big deal that's coming next year. Not a lot of people are talking about, but we need to start the conversation now so when it happens next year, people are prepared.
Wait, is the federal government doing the flood maps again?
It's more than that. It's the biggest change in the 50-year history of the program, and it has nothing to do with mapping. Well, it does and it doesn't, but we'll talk more about that.
Well, it is a little bit of a teaser for Joe's segment. But right now, as we pull off to the side of the road here, WATD Traffic Center is up ahead, being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Online at brennansmokeshopma.com. With locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And awaiting us is the traffic maven herself, Lisa DeMilo. How are things out on the roadways?
Well, hey, Kevin. The expressway southbound is inching along from the tunnel most of the way down to the split. And along the way, watch for disabled tractor trailer at Granite Ave blocking the right lane. Northbound's just slow approaching the tunnel. Route 3 south delays down past Union Street, and the northbound side is good. Slight delays on the Bourne Bridge with that ongoing road work, and the Sagamore's wide open. And routes 24 and 44, check out A-OK. This report is sponsored by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation invites you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop. So the Food and Drug Administration is really cracking down on vaping. Minors are becoming addicted to nicotine at a young age, and the FDA is taking steps to reduce usage. With that being said, Brennan's Smoke Shop is committed to keeping electronic smoking devices and traditional tobacco products out of the hands of minors. If you consider yourself a young adult, have your ID ready, because we're going to card you every time. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yeah, definitely keep it in mind that if you do miss any of the program that you are tuned into, or if you missed any of our previous programs, that the podcasts are all uploaded. I've been extra diligent.
I love those podcasts around election time.
Do you really?
I do. I go on there and I listen to your... And sometimes I even go back and listen to the old debates, the good ones.
Did these feature Tony O'Brien? It's funny because we actually had the other day, 2 weeks ago, we had Matt McDonough and John Buckley in studio. Both of them, of course, one of their previous challengers was Tony O'Brien.
Sure.
We know that the Matt McDonough and Tony O'Brien from was, that was a ding fest. I could say that, right? It was a ding fest because Tony was just on his ding. He was unhinged.
Yeah. No,
But when I say he was unhinged, I'm saying it in a way, in a manner that Tony was just passionate about the issues. And he was not in tune when as to the time that he was allotted.
Well, those are good debates, but there are some races that really just perk my interest anyways. And, you know, you listen to them, and sometimes I listen to them over and over again because history over time, and then you go back and listen to the debates and you see how things have played out over time, and it's just interesting.
It definitely is interesting. Yeah. And again, as I was mentioning, those podcasts are up. Whether you go to, you just Google Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD, or you just go to the homepage of WATD, 95.9 WATD, scroll down and you'll see the Monday Night Talk banner. You click on it and it'll bring you to some of the latest podcasts that we have on. We put the show up in its entirety, so to speak. And Joe has been featured. Actually, the one thing I haven't done yet is you've got like the little thumbnail. Joe's mug is still on the thumbnail. We'll have to remove
it. I know. Every time I see it, and people probably expect to hear more of me than you, but I'm not even...
Well, those who are looking for information when it comes to flood insurance, baby.
Yes, absolutely.
Knowing that you are the local guy who's in the know. You're probably the most talented individual when it comes to sharing that information, updating yourself on that information, and disseminating it to the community. I mean, there was a time when it was just the Marshfield-Scituate area. Now it's the state.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. And you know, can you believe that it's been 7.5 years since the coalition was started? And in that time, I used to, you know, get nervous, like, oh, you know, there's all of a sudden not going to be enough for us to work on or for us to do. But I've learned over the years that just when you think that there might be a slowdown in information, it never gets, there's never a time when there's not something going on, whether it be flood related, claims related, you know, mapping related. There's always something going on. And I would say right now, there is more going on than we've seen in the last 10 years in the flood insurance program. You know, we all thought that in 2012 and 2013 in this area, with the reform of the program that caused spikes in premiums and mapping that was done in 2013.
That was big.
Big deal. Well, I think, you know, some of the stuff that's kind of bubbling up now that'll carry into next year, late into next year, could be either equal to or greater than some of those events that we saw in 2012.
Really? Is this something that's we're going to need local, we're going to need state legislators to champion a cause, or maybe even some of the folks who are our legislative, from the legislative delegation here in the state, to go down to Washington and fight to make things right?
Well, you know, let me just give everyone, there's legislative reform that's going on, but as you mentioned, Kevin, the story, it's the same old story, right? We've gotten to a point, although we are further along now than we have been in 2 years in terms of looking at actual legislation that we can try to move forward. The program expires May 31st as of right now. Most people believe that we can get something done in the U.S. House of Representatives by that day. But the odds of getting something through the Senate by that deadline are slim to none. We've already heard that if the House can do something by then, we will probably see an extension to September 30th, which many believe will be enough time to, if we get something moved in the House, that we can then have that time to move it in the Senate. So I actually do think that now, you know, we're in our 10th short-term extension since September 30th of 2017 to the National Flood Insurance Program. Mm-hmm. I do believe that that when the program's extended to September 30th of this year, it will be the best chance we've had since 2 years ago to actually get a piece of long-term reauthorization passed. So I am confident on that. I am.
And I want to make sure the folks know that any time during the conversation that we're sitting here with Joe, you can always visit the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition website, which is KNOW flood.org.
That's right.
That's the best way to find out. Get involved. And you know what? If you are somebody who you have a passion for something like this, you're always looking for folks to get involved.
We are. And so what's really interesting is that's the legislative view, really, is we've got some bills that have been proposed. It's the same old ideas, and the program will most likely be extended beyond May 31st. But you bring up how to get involved with the coalition. We're doing a lot of really exciting things. The first thing that we're doing is April, we have a quarterly newsletter. And that quarterly newsletter is released about the middle of the month, of beginning the quarter. So April 15th, we believe we'll be releasing the second quarter's newsletter. We'll be announcing a membership program. So this is the first time in our 7.5 year history that we've actually been able to offer memberships to people. Membership's free. So why wouldn't you want to become a member?
What do they get with their membership?
They get the quarterly newsletter. They have access to all of our past and current media, and that would be blog posts, newsletters, coastal columns about
updates as they happen.
Updates as they happen. And starting in April, we're doing a podcast. So you'll be able to actually get a podcast as part of our offering as what you get as becoming a member.
Who's hosting this?
I am.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Maybe you'll be a guest on my show, Kevin.
See, I wouldn't fit the bill because you are very knowledgeable.
Yeah,
I could see you bringing in folks who work in the insurance field, or folks who are working on in the legislative areas, or even folks who have various issues that are like-minded that they could share with folks who might have similar issues and go, oh, that's how this person was able to tackle, overcome, and remedy it.
Exactly. And so another so what we're asking people is, you know, in the past we've just gotten questions emailed to us, you know, hey, can you help me out with this, that, or the other thing? You know, we're really asking people to become a member. It's free. And you can subscribe to either just the regular emails we send out about once every month or so, or a quarterly newsletter, whichever you'd like, or both. And then the other thing that we're doing, this is actually breaking. We have not announced this at all yet.
Do we have a breaking news sounder here? I'm kidding, Ben.
We have made some announcements on our membership. We actually currently have about 100 subscribed members, and that will grow as we roll in our current email list to become members over the next few months. And that number is already about 2,000. But we are actually setting up and have brought on board a dedicated flood specialist, and will actually be opening a flood insurance service center. So what this will allow people to do is, if you have specific questions about your flood insurance policy or just generalized questions about flood insurance, we have somebody dedicated that will actually be answering. You have a place on our website to upload your information, put the question in writing, and then send it over to us, and someone's actually going to be able to review your information and get back to you. And it's really something that we wanted to do because we know that that's not easy for people to do right now. And the board of directors responds to these email requests, and we're all over the place on when we get back to people. We needed to formalize it somehow. We had the volunteers that were coming on board. Like you said, you want to get involved. Well, we now are forming positions that people can volunteer in, and I'm proud to say that as of today, we have two volunteer staff members that we've brought on board, one to run our service center, that's Art McKinney on the Cape, and Nina Villanova, who's running our social media. We have a social media director now. So like you said, Kevin, it's exciting times for the coalition. We're growing at an extreme rate, you know, in trying to offer a lot more things, and there's so much more to come this year.
From its infancy, from when it was just Marshfield or Marshfield Situate, it's really grown. I have you pay off on the tease that you had before we went into break, because you need to pay off on that tease. The podcast, how often are you going to do it? What's the length of it? Where will people be able to find it? Will it strictly be on your website?
It will be. So in the short term, it's going to be on our website. You got to become a member in order to have access to it. It's going to be done on a quarterly basis. So it's actually going to be based off our newsletter. So the newsletter will be loaded with a bunch of stuff. And we've already put out two. This will be our third newsletter. It's loaded with good information. We have real estate tips in regards to flood insurance tips, how to reduce premiums. We have op-eds, and we have all this information. And now we're going to have the people writing the information actually be on the show to kind of digest it a little bit simpler. So if you want to, it's a half hour long. So if you want a half hour catch up on what's going on in the flood world, you'll be able to catch our podcast.
Let's see if you are wise. Just going to throw a little bone out there.
Sure.
While it's still going on, because I know today there was a big meeting up at Senator Markey's office in regards to the livelihood of access, of public access, and knowing that the FCC could eventually rule in regards to in-kind funding, and that could spell danger for public access. But any thought of, is this strictly going to be an audio podcast, or is there going to be some kind of a visual element to this?
No, that's a great point. So part of what we're looking to do is do short video clips in the future, and this is part of our media rollout, and it's part of what we're doing this year. Video clips of us giving information about flood issues.
So are you going to be using a phone to do this? Please, whatever you do, please, or next time I see you, I will verbally let you have it. Please make sure that when you do it, the aspect ratio is correct. Don't be holding it up and down.
Great.
Hold it side to side.
Okay? No, we have actually subscribed to a service that will help us do the video and audio. Okay. So we are, well, we're in any, good hands.
If you need any expert advice.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Kevin.
I can offer a secondary, but I know you also are good friends with Jonathan Grabowski over at Marshfield Community. television, yeah. And I'm sure he would be happy to help you as well. Maybe that's something. And if you're looking for avenues now, are you going to try to air this on just the website, or are you going to share it with other access centers?
Yeah, for right now, we're just doing the website. Again, we just completed a 5 to 10 year vision of the coalition earlier this year, and so we kind of have targets of where we're going over the next 5 years, really, and then potentially 10. So these are all things that we'll be putting into a growth mode as we get more members on board. Again, our focus over the next 5 years is to grow our membership. So if you're out there and you're interested or you want to know more, and actually to access information now on our website, you do have to become a member. Again, it's free. So become a member.
Mm. And just a note as to what I had mentioned in regards to access, and we had mentioned the meeting up in Boston with Senator Markey. The hope is to have him on in the next week or two to talk about that meeting in general that he had with a lot of the executive directors of access centers here in the Commonwealth. Now, it's time for you to pay off on that tease. Something that folks don't realize that is lurking.
It's
but
coming
it's
down the road.
There's going to be a conversation about this real soon.
There is, and it's already hit the media. Actually, the conference I was at, the National Flood Association, our conference is where FEMA broke the news about their rollout of Risk Rating 2.0. And it hit Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, and some of that media was actually at our conference. I had a chance to speak to some of them. I wasn't quite quoted, but I was able to kind of help them digest some of the information that was given. What's really interesting is about 4 or 5 years ago, FEMA announced that they had the administrative authority to change the way that buildings are rated. So right now, when you go get an insurance rate, there's really some basic information that an insurance agent needs. They need foundation information, age of the building, elevation certificate possibly, and there's some other information that's required to generate a rate. Your building, if your building and my building are the exact same in the exact same situation, we should be generating the same rate, whether you're in California or whether you're in Massachusetts or wherever it is. Again, same building, same situation, should be the same rate. Well, we know that doesn't always happen because of the expertise of those writing the policies and the information that's put into it. So FEMA's goal with Risk Rating 2.0 was to simplify the way that we get that information and what information is applied to rating. So what's important here, and really to get everyone's arms around what's going on, simplest way to put it is, FEMA has decided that they are moving the way that buildings are rated from an A zone, V zone, X zone, those are the three flood zones, to what we will call a graduated zone rating system. So for example, your building, when you go into this new rating program, or when an agent does to rate your building, you'll be able to type in an address. And when you do that, the technology built into this new system will pull things like the location of your building, closest distance to water, flood potential, so a risk score of some type. What's your actual potential of flooding? Right now, you're just in or out. Soon, it'll be able to give you all these ratios and potentials and distance and all these different things. And in that, they're also going to try to bake in some type of ground elevation software and data so that we no longer rely so heavily on elevation certificates. So what this is going to do is, this is not going to be an optional rating program. This is going to replace the current rating programs out there and the current way that you're rated. So why this is important is because the premiums and rates that you're currently paying will be totally different starting October 1st of 2020 for all single-family dwellings. That's where the rollout starts. And it might sound like that's a small part of the program, but out of 5 million policies, 4 million of those are single-family dwellings. So it's about two-thirds of the program will be totally re-rated with this new risk rating program. So FEMA announced the new rollout of the program will start April 1st. That's when we will actually see rate tables. April 1st of next year is when it'll actually be applied to our policies, our the program's policies. So I bring this up now because, you know, I could obviously go on a long tirade on Risk Rating 2.0, the pros and cons. People are probably scared to death right now about what this means. But all I can tell you is that we were debriefed on a lot of the details about Risk Rating 2.0. This is not a bigger Waters 2.0. This is not huge rate increases for people. people. It's just a different way of doing things. Yes, some people's rates will increase and some people's rates will decrease. This is going to be one of the focuses of our first podcast. So if people want to know more, subscribe to our website, become a member, get the newsletter, which has a article from me in it about this, and then we'll do a podcast.
Again, we're speaking with the chairman of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition, Joe Rossi, and the website that he is referring to is the MCC's website, No Flood. No is K-N-O-W, flood.org. Where you can be, where you're asked to sign up, get involved, become a member. It's free. Joe said that earlier. if he disputes it, you can come to the Monday Night Talk podcast, which will actually have him say it's free.
We'll actually
boost up him saying free. So you'll be able to isolate. See right there at the 57th moment.
Yeah,
But get involved. If this is something you're passionate, you've already got two folks who signed on to be. Members and volunteers to help in this effort. You had mentioned in regards to that there's going to be some changes in the rollout will be next April.
Yes.
Do you anticipate, with anything that's new, a new system, working the bugs out and it being fine-tuned? Is that why it's an early rollout in April so that agents like yourself,
yes,
folks who are experts, can isolate any issues?
This is why I don't think it's going to be a total mess up by FEMA. I think they're doing it right this time. The software involved that April 1st will be able to see what everybody's rates are going to be before they're actually applied in October. So if somebody sees a rate that goes up by $10,000, we're going to know that ahead of time and be able to fix that ahead of time. So I guess the short of the long is that FEMA is working. This is not meant to be a scare, scary, this is what's coming down the pike. This is just to get people aware that when they hear about this, and they will hear more about this over the next year, exactly a year from today when it's finally released, don't be worried about it. Pay attention to the coalition, as we will be releasing more and more information as we get it. A lot of people have asked me, well, what could my rate be? FEMA doesn't have the rates yet. They should have them over the summer. And so we'll probably be releasing a lot more information in our third and fourth quarter newsletter of this year.
Something to be watching for. And Joe, nice having you back. We're going to get you to come back and co-host because
yes,
having conversations with Junior D'Amato and talking about various vehicles is not the same without Joe Rossi.
And I miss that.
Although I have a fellow Mopar guy. Ben is a big fan of Mopar.
Oh, nice.
Actually, his vehicle is similar to yours, but it looks like his has come in contact with the barriers and stuff. Ben, what do you have for a vehicle? It's a Charger, right?
It's a Dodge Charger, the 07. You know what they say about those? The body of a warrior and the heart of a go-kart.
I like that. It's a
definitely,
great saying.
Definitely. Yeah. But knowing you're a Mopar guy.
I am.
We'll definitely have to have you in here, Rip. But we thank you very much for the latest information.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Best of luck on the podcast. If you need any help, whether it's on the audio or visual side,
I appreciate that.
More than happy to help you. Joe Rossi. We are going to step aside. When we come back, Ryan McCormick will be joining us here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
This is Sheriff Joe McDonald. I want to invite men and women who have served time and are now looking to enter or re-enter the workplace to attend our job fair next Wednesday, April 10th, at the War Memorial Hall, 156 Elm Street in Brockton. Reps from such firms as CheerPack, ServPro, and The Craft Group will be there from noon until 3 with information about openings and area businesses eager to hire new workers. We all know that the most important step in rebuilding lives and communities is finding a job, and employers know that too. They are willing to work with individuals that may have had problems in their past but are now trying to do right by themselves and their families. With our partners from District Attorney Tim Cruz and Mayor Bill Carpenter's office, I encourage anyone looking for a job or to re-enter the workplace to consider attending our fair and see if there is a good fit for you. A resume is helpful but not required, and there is no cost. If you have questions or are a business looking to join the career fair, please call us at 508-830-6200, extension 438 for help and information. That's 508-830-6200, extension 438. Thank you.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we return. We thank Joe Rossi for sitting in the opening spot this evening. Normally we have state senators and state reps. And even hopefully next week we're looking to have Governor Baker be a guest on the program. So stay tuned for that. Right now, joining us, a gentleman who is a reputation management expert, also the co-founder of Goldman McCormick PR. We have Ryan McCormick joining us. Ryan, welcome to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Well, it is a great honor to be with you, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
What's very interesting is Ryan is a friend who I deal with, Ryan and Mark, whenever I look for fine interviews or conversations or experts in a lot of fields and areas. Ryan and Mark are the guys that I turn to from time to time to be able to. And it's kind of odd that we get Ryan, who is actually in the role of expert, as we can talk a little bit about Jussie Smollett. And did he commit career suicide with this hoax, this hate crime hoax that he perpetrated? It was, I believe, a grand jury found him guilty, and it was moved on to the next process. Then, mysteriously, charges were dropped.
He's not guilty. Yes, he did commit career suicide. there are people who are outraged that Jussie Smollett is even associated with Empire, and Empire had its lowest rated episode in its entire history. I believe it was March 20th. So, yes, he is toxic, and there will not be any comeback. I don't think people are going to take the chance and give him the opportunity to be in any other TV shows, knowing that he is a risk. Why take a chance? I mean, if somebody's capable of doing something like this previously, you know, they're probably going to do it in the future. And yes, you know, somehow, some way, shape, or form, he was, quote-unquote, exonerated, I guess, but no one believes it. Once you are guilty in the court of public opinion, it doesn't matter what the law says, you are guilty. And as an actor, your credibility is tied into your likability.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because did we not just have an award show over the weekend and there was kind of a mixed reviews? I think Chris Rock actually made a comment, but yet there were other actors who were still supporting Jussie.
Yes, and that is just one aspect of the public. But I mean, Chris Rock coming down on Jussie was probably not a good thing for him. However, the fact that people who are fans of Empire, the fact that they are turning against their own show because of this one particular actor, shows just how bad the situation has gotten. I mean, on any, if you look at what happened to Lori Logan with Lifetime, you don't see people rebelling over her experience on the particular program. People are still going to watch a show that she was a part of. Yet we don't see the same thing happening with Jussie Smollett, where people are very upset about it. So it just shows you that I think that in the public eye, he's done for.
Here's my question, though: What if there was an about face by Mr. Smollett? What if he admitted that maybe he did perpetrate this and threw himself on the mercy of the court of public opinion?
Well, I don't believe that the court of a public opinion is merciful these days. I don't think it's merciful for the last 30 years. I think that society in general wants blood. They want someone to fall. They want someone to take the blame. You're almost better off denying it until the very end as opposed to admitting something, because when somebody admits something that they've done wrong, you hope that people are going to be forgiving. But the reality is that I think they want their vengeance. And at this point in time, right now, what Mr. Small did was he almost incited, stoked the fires of racial tension in our country. And it's a very negative thing. I think a lot of people are upset by it. So if he were to come out and admit this, I would say it would be a positive thing. You know, it's good to be truthful. I don't know how the people were going to respond, but I think that would be proof positive in his career no matter what. I think his career is already done. But to have him admit that in spite of all the everything else, that would really just kill off any kind of respectability or credibility he had with the media or the public. But at least he would sleep at night knowing he did the right thing.
And you don't think that hiring any reputable public relations firm to put him in better light would be a saving grace either?
Well, I mean, it would have to take a long period of time. I mean, if there's a situation where Jussie Smollett, for example, goes inside a burning building and saves children and saves puppies, the first thing the public are going to assume is that he set the fire to do this.
Right.
I mean, there's such a lack of credibility there. So if he hired the greatest PR firm in the world to do this, you know, after time, maybe you would have some kind of impact. But I don't think people are ever going to forget this. This is something where he's always going to be affiliated and associated with. And one of the worst things you could do is have your relationship to the public broken in the sense that they believe that you are incapable of telling the truth. And this is something where I think a lot of people believe he is guilty, despite the fact of what the law says. And this is always going to stick around with him in his career. Even if he gives Oscar performance after Oscar performance and whatever role he can possibly land, people will never stop associating with him with this event.
Let me ask you this. I think you mentioned as far as maybe if he... What if there was an absence? What if he stayed out of the spotlight? You know, let's say, you know, he stepped away from Empire and maybe stepped away for a few years. Is there a possibility of reviving his career and, like, starting from the bottom and working his way up and rebuilding his trust with the public and the viewers and folks who seek that, you know, seek entertainment from the programs that he's on?
Kevin, I think that's a very interesting point you brought up, because I tend to believe that the American public have a memory of a goldfish in some ways, because they forget how quickly they turn on people sometimes. So the idea of him taking a 3-year absence, I can see that being a positive, and maybe come back subtly. It all depends on where we are as a country at that particular time. I also think a lot of it has to do with the economy. If the economy is doing good and people are less inclined to be upset and there's a greater mood in the country, maybe they'll have a greater chance. But if the country is very upset and their economic conditions are not good and people are looking for something to take their anger out on or take their emotional release from, I don't think it'll be a bad thing. So him taking a 3-year absence could be a positive thing for him for right now, but it all depends on what the long-term effect of this is. The fact that people are still talking about what he has done in a negative fashion, the fact that they are probably going to get Empire canceled because of this, I think is a long-term negative consequence of his actions. But, you know, at the same time, never say never. Never say never. Never.
And what's interesting, you mentioned Empire, and it seems as though it's struggling as of late. I mean, this was a highly successful show that seems to have fallen on tough times since this incident, made headlines.
Yes, and one of the things that show could have done is that they could have publicly just broken ties with Jussie Smollett. If they had done that, and they had worked on other things and said, look, the cast and crew were going to move on, that probably would have been a positive thing. But the fact that they're unsure, that they don't know if they're going to keep him on there or not, that has probably hurt them in a negative fashion. So there have been other times throughout TV history where you have a star that is very toxic or doing things, and you have to sever the tie in order to save the show. We saw that happen with 2 1/2 Men, where they actually fired their major star, Charlie Sheen, and they replaced him, and they did it so they could salvage the show. So Empire probably should have immediately disassociated cut all ties with Jussie Smollett in the very beginning, as soon as they suspected something, or as soon as they knew that he was so much of a liability that they couldn't take any more chances on it. I mean, that show could potentially still be saved, especially if they bring on another prominent actor or a couple other really respected people on that show and kind of revive it. But at this point in time right now, I think that because they've waited so long, it probably is putting them on a negative path.
So I would ask you, it's interesting, you mentioned Charlie Sheen, and when they replaced him on that show, and it's a fond term that relates to happy days back in the day when Fonzie jumped a shark as a
jumped
part of
a shark.
Jump, it, that show officially jumped the shark once Sheehan was killed off.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting.
Maybe
I was going to say
the shark moment.
Right, and I was going to say, and that is Sheehan has not even rebounded. He still is struggling with his career since all of the, you know, Just Win, you know, his winning that whole episode.
Yes, and there's a major lesson to come about from this. I believe that if people in all different backgrounds and all different professions, when you work for a company, when you especially have a position as a CEO or you're an integral part of the team, be your best, perform your best. Every performance on that member of the team counts. And if you have somebody that is not committed to the end goal, that is doing negative things, the best thing you could possibly do is sever ties with that individual, because you don't want to compromise the livelihood of all the other people. Everyone who worked hard on that show, Empire, their livelihoods and their careers are compromised because of one individual. And that's something that I think all people need to keep in mind, whether they're working on a TV show or they're working in a company. You know, be responsible for your actions and know that even though you may not be a publicist or you may not be the spokesperson of that company, you are representative of that company.
You know, it's interesting. We look back 20 years prior to the internet and it being so popular as it is. Let's say if something like this happened 20, 25 years ago, would his career still stand a chance? Or because we live in such a viral society that things, as soon as it hits the news that it's worldwide, that's basically what has kind of sacrificed his career because of today's technology.
I think 25 years ago, we had a much more moral culture. The values, just collectively speaking, doesn't matter what the political affiliations were. I think people were more responsible, more moral. So I don't know how they would have responded. The fact that we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle back then, the fact that people didn't need so much information stimuli, probably would have put things better in his favor. The fact that they weren't hearing about this all the time. So it's hard to tell what would have happened, but the fact that this is in your face 24/7, the fact that there is social media and people sharing their opinions about this all the time, I think it definitely does tilt it in not in his favor, not in Jesse Small's favor, the fact that we do have social media. So this happened 25 years ago. I think he'd probably have a better chance of surviving it, knowing that people were not as connected as they are now.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you for joining us and chatting about this. I would probably delve into up here in the Boston area, you know, Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the New England Patriots. I don't know where you are on that, because that's another issue, and I'm kind of wondering, I don't know how much you know about what's going on with that.
The fact that they're questioning the police officer right now, I would say that would be a positive thing in his favor. The fact that the police are being questioned about how they handle it, that gives him some credibility. I heard that they want to get a tape out of what actually happened.
Yep.
In the confines of the pod, if they have a videotape of that, that's very, very bad. But at this point in time right now, I mean, the less it's in the news, the better for him. It'd be a shock to see if he actually steps down.
See, I don't think he would step down as the owner of the New England Patriots. I think right now he's trying to fight it, thinking that, because initially when this broke, it was that this was on the heels of human trafficking, that was part of a sex ring that was going on. And that there was human trafficking that was going on of folks that are being held against their will. Now the more that this is in the news, again, he has since requested a jury trial to get himself exonerated, which is interesting, because a lot of folks, like, he was given it out if he just would, you know, admit sufficient facts. I think the fear was is that if he did do that, he would actually suffer consequences via other owners and the NFL.
So by going to trial, he's got an opportunity to hire the best lawyer money can buy and potentially win. And if you look at some of these other cases recently, if you have a great lawyer, you can do a lot of things. I mean, they say money doesn't buy justice. I believe that is incorrect. If you have a strong lawyer and you can manage the situation the best you can, he's probably looked at the situation and says he's in a better position to beat the case, and instead of, you know, taking a plea deal. And who knows? I mean, you don't really know how strong that case is. They could say one thing. I mean, when Jesse Smollett came out, everyone thought, like, well, this guy's gone to prison for 48 years. They've got 16 counts against him. How is there any possibility? And we just learned last week or 2 weeks ago, all charges have been dropped. So justice is pretty interesting. And Mr. Kraft probably realized that if he can get a strong lawyer, he has a very strong chance of being in the case.
Okay, we have been speaking with Ryan McCormick, who is a reputation management expert and co-founder of Goldman McCormick PR. Ryan, I want to thank you for joining me, and I look forward to having you back on the air to talk about more items like this.
Well, Kevin, it's a great honor to be with you and your listeners. If your listeners want to learn more about us, please go to our website at goldmanmccormick.com. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it. There he is, Ryan McCormick, our guest here on Monday Night Talk. And as I wrap up one, of course, awaiting me as my next guest, Sheriff Joe McDonald is going to be joining us in a few moments. Anything you want to say, Ben, in regards to the conversation we're having, or you're kind of out of that one, huh?
It was an interesting conversation, but you're right, out of that one, buddy.
Well, again, I was kind of hoping to get into the Robert Kraft one, but, you know, having Jerry Thornton, who's going to be on later on, I think Jerry is going to probably want to really delve into the whole situation, not only Robert Kraft, but also Robert Gronkowski deciding that he's had enough. For all we know, we may see him during WrestleMania this coming Sunday night. Who knows?
No doubt on that. Looking forward to that one.
It definitely bears watching. Why don't we do this? Let's break a little bit before the top of the hour. Let's close out the first hour of Monday Night Talk and embrace the second hour. As you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, don't go anywhere.
FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W247 CB Brockton.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See, there is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
This Easter Sunday, Old Colony Masonic Lodge, 85 Central Street in Hingham, is having a blood drive. So before you hop around the backyard collecting Easter eggs, before or after you hop to church, hop down to Old Colony Lodge and donate a pint. This Easter Sunday, you can impress the Easter Bunny with your hopping ability and save a life at the same time. So please, hop in and donate a pint. Old Colony Lodge is located at 85 Central Street in Hingham, and the blood drive will run from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. More information can be found online at oldcolonylodge.org.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
Don't mind me as I'm playing with technology, taking a photo of my next guest, one and only Sheriff of Plymouth County, Joseph McDonald, who appears on here from time to time and is part of a steady stream of county officials that we've had on over the past couple of weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago we had both registers, Register of Deeds and Register of Probate. Last week, of course, how dare you have folks on not have the county commissioner, so we had a county commissioner on. And of course, even though it's county, you're more of the state.
Correct. Yeah, we're all the sheriffs now are state agencies. We are line items in the state budget.
Yeah. Sorry
and,
about that.
Yeah, like the district attorney's office as well. You know, our jurisdiction is still Plymouth County, but since the 1970s, the DAs have been state agencies, and since 2010, 2011, all the sheriff's offices have been state as well.
So we thought it would be fantastic to, I want to, of course, wish the birthday girl a belated birthday, Karen Barry, who helped us to, she's like, hey, Kev, what do you think of that? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah, her birthday was last week.
It was last week, but I didn't have a chance because it was last Monday, and it was prior to, and, you know, Facebook goes, hey, guess whose birthday it is? I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's her birthday, so. But she was the one who suggested, hey,
yeah,
let's get the sheriff on. I'm like, fantastic. Got a big career fair coming up next Wednesday, right?
We do. Yeah. It's on Wednesday, April 10th, so a week from Wednesday, this Wednesday. We're going to have, it's actually our third Corey-friendly job fair in the city of Brockton at the War Memorial Building, 156 Elm Street. And, you know, kudos to Mayor Carpenter for partnering with us. And when I say us, I mean us at the correctional facility, our reentry and program staff and educational staff. But also, District Attorney Cruz has thrown in and been a real big help with this stuff as well. You know, sending folks our way. And the great thing about this is, you know, we've done them for a number of years, the career fairs, the college fairs. You wouldn't think about those things happening. Last week, we did a college and career resource fair inside the correctional facility. And many of the employers and the educational institutions, God bless them, are willing to come into the correctional facility to talk to inmates who are soon to be leaving. But this is a great one because we're coming outside the facility. We're going to the city over in Brockton. And people who may have done time with us are welcome to come, as is anybody in the city that's looking for work. It's a great opportunity for a lot of folks who, you know, may have struggled to get jobs or hold jobs in the past. These are employers who have specifically stated they're willing to overlook transgressions and give someone a fresh start, a new chance.
Folks who don't know the word, and if I'm saying it incorrectly, forgive me, recidivism.
Perfect.
Right?
Recidivism, yes.
What is that? What does that word mean?
Oh, Kevin, that's...
And how is it important to this this career fair?
Well, you know, recidivism is... it's a harder word to define than it is to say. but basically what it is someone who commits an offense, gets convicted, comes to jail, serves time, gets released, and then commits another offense and comes back to jail. So basically it's someone who's been in jail, paid their debt, gotten out, and got something else, and then come back. There's a lot of controversy as to how we calculate that. You know, if someone had a split sentence, let's say they're released and they violate probation and they come back, but it's not a new offense. They're not something like you're not supposed to drink alcohol, but they did. It's not a crime, but they end up. So it's a difficult thing to define, but I think we can all agree that the best way to define it is someone who commits a crime, gets released after serving a sentence, and then commits another new crime and comes back. So we don't like to see that. And unfortunately, it happens all too often that that people get out. They may look for work on their own. They may struggle for a little bit. And then old habits, you know, they want to make quick money, and they turn back to the old ways that got them into trouble. And that's the fast track to come right back to jail.
And so hopefully finding employment for these folks will help reduce recidivism.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, I think, the case, Kevin. If you can give somebody a viable alternative on the outside, and I can remember, you know, I was 9 years an assistant DA, and I used to think to myself, and people would say it, and I would agree, that you look at some of these elaborate criminal enterprises, these schemes that people would engage in, and think to yourself, if this person had only put that kind of brain power and effort into a legitimate business, he'd probably be employing a few people. So what's nice about this is it's not just the jobs, but we're saying career as well. We had, last week, we had representatives from a number of institutions of higher learning who are willing to give these individuals, you know, perhaps some credit for some of the programs that they've completed while they're in jail, vocational programs, and get them into certification programs for different jobs, culinary arts, auto repair, janitorial services. Those types of jobs are certainly in demand, and we have a lot of talent that, you know, for one reason or another, runs afoul of the law. And I think the best opportunity or the best gift that we can give them is the opportunity to do something legitimate when they get out.
And I think wording is key as well. Anybody could have a job, but if it's something that's their career, something that they want to do for the remainder of their lives and enjoy what they do, career is a perfect word.
Yeah, and I think that it is. I feel My grandfather said to me many, many years ago, he said, if you find work that or a job that you love, he said, you will never work another day in your life.
And it's very true.
And it is so true. I didn't understand necessarily what he meant at the time. But I do. I know that now. And I've been very blessed. I've had jobs over my career that I have absolutely loved. And I can't tell you the last time I worked. I really can't. I'm proud and happy to say that.
What do you want to say in regards to who are some of the partners that you have that are involved with this and that they're key and instrumental to having this Corey Friendly Career Fair move forward next Wednesday?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I do want to send a special thank you and shout out to Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter. Mayor Carpenter has a great understanding of how important something like this is to the city of Brockton and many of the folks that might be struggling over there, whether or not they have been incarcerated. So people who haven't been are certainly welcome to attend this as well. And he has done his part to, number one, give us a venue to do it over there in the city at the War Memorial Building. And he and his staff have done a great job getting the word out on the streets of Brockton that, you know, we've got some employers who are ready and willing to give jobs. I also want to give a shout out and a thanks to District Attorney Cruz. Tim has been outstanding with reference to all of these career fairs and college fairs that we've done, but also to our program staff and rehabilitation services in general within the jail. So I appreciate that. And I think the biggest thank you that I want to send out there are to the employers that are willing to come in. And you saw we had a list there. There's over 16, and I think we've even gotten a few more since I had last counted. But the Kraft Group, the IBEW, which is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, CheerPak, ServPro, Verk is one of them, Mass Hire, Stewart Painting, Year Up, Riley Brothers, it's an asphalt company. It's really been, it's very satisfying to see that there are so many employers out there who are willing to give some of our folks a second chance, and that's so important.
Is the door closed if there are any employers out there going, hey, there's a career fair. How do we get...
Oh, absolutely not, Kevin. We would welcome any employer that would like to come. And they would be welcome to call my office down at the Sheriff's Department there, 508-830-6200, and let them know, the person that answers the phone, that you are an employer that wants to participate in the job fair, and they'll connect them with our program staff, and we can make that a reality.
And would these employers be eligible for any tax, federal tax credits?
You know,
is that a residual to this?
That's a great question, and I think that is absolutely true. That yeah, there are some tax benefits to these companies that are going to take a chance on some of these guys, and I think it's appropriate that they do that, but I also want to make it clear that all of the employers, and I try to, when I go to these fairs, I try to talk to all of the employers and the representatives of the employers that come and thank them personally for taking a chance. You know, I think all of them seem to me to be motivated not so much by any tax credits, but by the fact that they want to... They want to do good by the community. You know, they're part of the community as well, and I appreciate that.
And again, we're speaking with the Plymouth County Sheriff, Joe McDonald, who is our guest and is a recurring guest. We have him on from time to time. We're talking a little bit about the Corey Friendly Career Fair taking place next Wednesday, April 10th. This is from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Brockton War Memorial Building, 156 West Elm Street in Brockton. Now, are you suggesting anybody who is looking to show up for this event, if they're looking for employment, that they have a resume on hand, or is that necessarily needed?
You know, it's not necessary for most of the employers, but it is helpful. I mean, that's a great leg up, and that's one of the things our program and educational staff inside the jail help some of our inmates as they're returning to the community. We have classes in there specifically to help them generate a resume, to say, you know, what job skills have you acquired on the outside, you know, other than the criminal activities, and what skills, because this is important as well. We have a lot of vocational programs inside the jail. So some people are coming in, they're getting certified as janitors and custodians for large buildings. We have ServSafe programs for people that are going to get involved in the food service industry. We have a lot of vocational certifications that that can be useful on the outside and open doors. I think that's an important thing to do. And you know, basic life skills, we teach that as well. But I think a resume is one of the most important basic life skills that you can get.
As part of the before an inmate is released, a reentry program, what does an individual go through when they go through a reentry program?
It varies tremendously from individual to individual, but we have staff people down at the correctional facility who are very, very dedicated people. And they will tell you that in their opinions, and in my opinion as well, this is God's work is what this is. You know, you want to see that these folks have all the tools that they need to succeed on the outside legitimately. Now, not everybody's going to do that, and, you know, we'd like to see those numbers get better, and I think they are getting better over time. But people may present with a lack of education, and they frequently do, a lack of job skills, and frequently do. But then other people are going to present with things like drug addiction or alcohol addiction. And we, inside the correctional facility, go to very great lengths to see that we can help them deal with those issues appropriately and, you know, get people clean and sober and ready to do a good day's work, you know, something they can be proud of. And I think, you know, that's something when you see the look on someone's face and know that they're proud of a job that they've done, it really is very satisfying. I think, you know, it reminds us of why we do the things we do.
It's my understanding that the state's recidivism rate is probably one of the lowest in the country. Is that true?
Yes, I've read that in many, many sources. You know, Massachusetts also, our incarceration rates, we're 49th out of all 50 states. You know, I get a lot of times when I go places, they talk about our record levels of incarceration and prison overcrowding. And really, Kevin, believe it or not, it's maybe counterintuitive, but our crime rates have been going down for many, many years. Our recidivism rates, I believe, are going down. And I think that's reflected when you look at our population levels. When I became the sheriff in 2005, our daily population at the correctional facility was routinely well over 1,600 individuals. As I'm sitting here talking to you now, we are somewhere in the vicinity of about 1,000 to 1,100 individuals on a daily basis. So something's working, you know, and this is not just in Plymouth County. This is all 14 counties in Massachusetts, or all 13 counties that have correctional facilities. Barnstable has the Nantucket ones as well, but I think good things are happening in corrections. You know, we're doing a lot of rehabilitative services, a lot of detox and drug treatment, a lot of mental health services, and I'd like to see, honestly, I'd like to see the public health system step it up a little bit so that they could take some of the burden off us and maybe save some of these folks from having to commit crimes and end up in jail to get the treatment that is so important to getting them back on the right track.
How does your ability to be able to work with the district attorney, to work with mayors like Bill Carpenter and other community leaders, to have a partnership? How important is a partnership in seeing success in returning folks back out in the street and being productive citizens to society?
Yeah, that's a great question. For years and years, Kevin, we've done this, probably going back 6 or 8 years. We've done internal career and college fairs, and, you know, we've enjoyed a little bit of success, but that having a partner in the district attorney's office and having a partner in the city of Brockton in the person of the mayor and his staff, it's like the military would call a force multiplier. So we're able to reach people within the correctional facility, but also people who may have passed through the correctional facility. One of the things, too, that people may or may not realize, the average length of stay in our correctional facility is about 9 months. You know, we do have some people for a period of years, but that's the exception, not the rule. So sometimes it's not really enough time for us to finish that program or get that person into a job. But being able to partner with the mayor, partner with the DA, we can get people while they're on the outside. You know, partner with the probation department from the trial court. These guys get it. They know that, you know, jail is something that you need to have it, but let's make that the last resort. And if people do end up there, it's going to be a correctional experience, not a punishment experience. You know, it's people are sent to us to be corrected, you know, to get them back on the right track. And as I said, it doesn't work for everybody, but, you know, we're trying, and we're going to continue to try.
How does the county farm help with educating, whether it's horticulture at its best or anything like that? How is that a helpful tool?
Yeah, I get a lot of times, you know, what are you teaching people to be farmers down there? And, you know, the answer is yes, but no. Granted, there's, you know, our agricultural industries are not what they used to be. Mm-hmm. And that is unfortunate, I think. But what we're teaching over there on the farm are things that are really not quantifiable. People are getting up and putting in a good hard day's work and seeing something as the fruits of those labors, you know, the plants that they raise. We have our inmates over there raising tons of food every year that go to the food bank at the Community Action Council. And speak to those inmates. It's such a great feeling for me when I see how proud they are of having done something good for the, and here's a, you know, theoretically a bad guy who's just done something good and realized, wow, this is really an amazing thing. So we're teaching a work ethic. You know, we're teaching, they're working with animals over there directly in many instances. And you're teaching empathy and very free. You know, it's amazing to see these big, tough, bad guys during the birthing season for the calves. And they're out there making sure that these tiny calves are appropriately birthed and doing well and walking and eating and doing everything they need to do. So the farm, I think, is really a vital part of that rehabilitation. And that's why it was so important to me that we keep that. And I'm committed to keeping that far into the foreseeable future.
Okay. Good to know.
Thank you.
I mentioned partnerships and the importance of partnerships. Last Thursday night, I, for our news department, covered the State of the City address. And one of the things that was brought up was a piece of legislation that is being discussed by the Ordinance Committee and possibly going to be voted on by the City Council. I think you know where I'm going with this.
I do know where you're going.
But let me, for those who aren't knowledgeable, during the mayor's speech, he mentioned that he would not support anything that would turn Brockton into a secure cities, any kind of sanctuary city type act, because of the many partnerships that the city currently has with many agencies, and I know extensively with the county, because the county is a great partner to the City of Brockton and the police department, especially when it comes to if there's a prisoner that they need to take down to the jail. You guys are great in being there. You're there in support when there's a need. And I think that he had mentioned that. What's your thought on the conversation about Sanctuary City and the conversation in amongst the council about such an act?
Yeah, I commend the mayor for his position on the Sanctuary City issue. We could do literally a whole show about that, Kevin.
And we will.
And I'm happy to come back and talk about that. But it's, you know, it's very important to me that people understand that the Sanctuary City type of a bill is probably one of the single biggest threats to the public safety of everybody in the city of Brockton. It's absolutely, you know, I was out of town when that happened. I saw District Attorney Cruz, and I commend him for going over there and speaking his piece to the city council, because they need to understand that these sanctuary city bills are not what they're being sold as. They are really problematic. And the thing that troubles me most are the individuals out there who are sending signals to the otherwise law-abiding illegal immigrant community, the undocumented people who are just here having jobs. They're not a problem. The ones who are here committing serious crimes are. But to tell them, the people who aren't committing other crimes, that they cannot avail themselves of public safety services by the police, that is a direct threat to public safety. And the illegal immigrant bad guys, they're generally speaking not victimizing you and I on a daily basis. They're victimizing the people that they know won't call the police. And by telling the otherwise law-abiding illegal immigrant community that they can't do that because they'll be arrested, there is no instance, Kevin, of a victim being turned over to ICE or arrested or incarcerated. And I was infuriated when I read serious misinformation perpetuated before the city council. I so wish I could have been in town for that meeting, but misinformation was given to the city council about what's happening in, at the Plymouth County Correctional Facility. So I can't stress enough, thank you to the mayor, thank you to the DA for standing up for the public safety of everybody in Brockton, whether they're legal, illegal, documented, undocumented, whomever they are, citizen, non-citizen. Our jobs, and we take them very seriously, is the public safety of everybody that's there.
I will say this, and not to speak on behalf of the district attorney, but he and I have had many conversations. You may recall this back, it might have been maybe 08, 09, it might have been a little bit later, when a woman was murdered, found dead near a dumpster, and it was an individual who was a criminal who was able to escape justice and flee to his country. And we try, and the district attorney and many of our legislative leaders tried to get the individual back into the country to stand trial for this woman's murder, and they could not do so.
Right?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly which. I believe the defendant's name in that case was Guaman.
That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's a similar case that's percolating right now with similar results. You know, we should do a whole show on this, Kevin.
You and Tom Hodgson. Both of you in the same room. What do you think?
Is that possible? Right. Well, it is. It's possible. It could even be probable. The only problem with that is Tom is somewhat of a larger than life character. You might not hear much from me. He loves microphones, and I think even more than microphones, he loves cameras. But we love him. He's a good guy.
It'll get him here, and maybe we do a whole hour on it. I'll prop a camera up. And we can.
I think if you do that, he'll definitely come. And I will tell you this: I will personally call him and ask him to come.
Really?
If you want, yeah.
Let's try to do this. Maybe in the next couple of weeks. I'd love to do it. Before the end of April.
That would be great. You know, and the other thing that we could talk about, in addition to the Sanctuary City stuff that seems to pop up every now and again, is the 287G program, and that is the program that Bristol County, Barnstable County, and Plymouth County are engaged in, wherein we share information with Immigration and Customs on individuals who are incarcerated at the correctional facility. Sure. So, and that's important too, because there's a very large amount of misinformation, non-information, and outright lies about what's going on with those programs. And I think if you see the numbers, they are startling, and you see the crimes that these people are committing, staggering. It really makes you glad that we're able to partner on these things. And I think it's important. Like I said, we take our job seriously, and this is a big and a good program.
And I want to kind of just digress back to talking about the mayor. The mayor, in his speech, had mentioned that he, if this did pass the city council, and I've had a chance to speak with some city councilors, and the feeling is it may not have the muster to pass. But if it did, the mayor does have in the city charter the ability to veto it. And basically just kind of, but then again, as any kind of legislative action, they would have to try to get a majority. I think they would have to have at least 8 of the 11 that would vote for it in order to pass the veto. So that bears watching as to if that will come to fruition.
Yeah, we should keep a close eye on that, Kevin, because I do think that is very problematic. And I think the more information that we can get out to people, and I want to make sure that I can coordinate with the district attorney the next time the city council has questions. I would love to appear and correct some of that misinformation that was given to them about the individuals who are in the Plymouth County Correctional Facility.
Definitely something it's noteworthy, and hopefully they'll tune into the podcast and they can hear these excerpts about what we're discussing. We got a couple of more minutes left here with you, Sheriff. Anything that I've missed in regards to talking about the career fair, but we should make sure we remind folks again.
I think you've covered it very well, Kevin, and I appreciate the questions and getting the word out there. The only thing I would reiterate that it's a week from Wednesday. It's correct. April 10th. It's noon to 3 at the War Memorial Building in Brockton at 156 West Elm Street. And again, my thanks to DA Cruz for helping us with this, and for Mayor Carpenter for providing us a venue within the city and really going to bat for us. And I hope people appreciate and understand that these are two guys who are committed to public safety of all. And the best thing we can do for our returning inmates to anywhere, not just the city of Brockton, but anywhere in the county, is to give them a job and the opportunity to make a go of it legitimately. And if we do that and we do our jobs, then it's on the individuals themselves. And if they're successful, That's a wonderful thing. If they're not, that's on them. But we will continue to try.
If folks have any questions that they've heard this segment or they see any information out and about, whether it's on the web or maybe, you know, in City Hall or at, how can people find out more information?
Sure. Well, they can certainly go to our website, which is www.pcsdma.org. Those are the initials, Plymouth County Sheriff's Department .org. And they can see on our website those things, or they can pick up a phone, they can call us 508-830-6200.
Fantastic. And I want to thank you again. And you know what's, I'm sad here. I probably should have brought, I know you're a history buff. We should also have a future segment discussing history. I know you're a history guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I love history.
You love that stuff. And we've had you do segments here. Last one I think you did about was about the 4th of July. And is it really the 4th of July? Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. The 2nd of July is actually Independence Day.
See that?
Yeah.
This guy knows his stuff.
And people don't necessarily know that.
They don't. Yeah. It was 2 years ago you actually did the segment here on Monday Night Talk.
Oh, excellent. I was the keynote speaker a few years ago on July 2nd at the Police Academy graduation. And, you know, that was the subject. And I had more people come up to me after that and say, geez, I never knew. Mm-hmm. And it is a wonderful thing. And, you know, you read the writings of John and Abigail Adams and some of the letters that they exchanged, and you realize that, yeah, it really should have been this. So personally, I celebrate the 2nd of July as well as the 4th of July.
God bless you.
And whenever anybody says to me, happy 4th of July, I always say, no. Happy Independence Day.
There you go.
You know, whether it's the 4th, the 2nd, whenever you celebrate it or choose to celebrate it, it's independent. It's, you know, 4th of July is just a date.
He is your Plymouth County Sheriff, Joe McDonald. Thank you so much, Sheriff.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
For coming in. And again, if you've missed any portion of this program, just go to the website, 959watd.com, and click on the banner, and it should be up in the next couple of days. We're going to step aside just for a couple of moments, but when we come back, more Monday Night Talk on deck. Jerry Thornton, don't go anywhere.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop. So the Food and Drug Administration is really cracking down on vaping. Minors are becoming addicted to nicotine at a young age, and the FDA is taking steps to reduce usage. With that being said, Brennan's Smoke Shop is committed to keeping electronic smoking devices and traditional tobacco products out of the hands of minors. If you consider yourself a young adult, have your ID ready, because we're going to card you every time. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
This is Sheriff Joe McDonald. I want to invite men and women who have served time and are now looking to enter or re-enter the workplace to attend our job fair next Wednesday, April 10th, at the War Memorial Hall, 156 Elm Street in Brockton. Reps from such firms as Cheerpak, ServPro, and The Craft Group will be there from noon until 3 with information about openings and area businesses eager to hire new workers. We all know that the most important step in rebuilding lives and communities is finding a job, and employers know that too. They are willing to work with individuals that may have had problems in their past but are now trying to do right by themselves and their families. With our partners from District Attorney Tim Cruz and Mayor Bill Carpenter's office, I encourage anyone looking for a job or to re-enter the workplace to consider attending our fair and see if there is a good fit for you. A resume is helpful but not required, and there is no cost. If you have questions or are a business looking to join the career fair, please call us at 508-830-6200, extension 438 for help and information. That's 508-830-6200, extension 438. Thank you.
This Easter Sunday, Old Colony Masonic Lodge, 85 Central Street in Hingham, is having a blood drive. So before you hop around the backyard collecting Easter eggs, before or after you hop to church, hop down to Old Colony Lodge and donate a pint. This Easter Sunday, you can impress the Easter Bunny with your hopping ability and save a life at the same time. So please, hop in and donate a pint. Old Colony Lodge is located at 85 Central Street in Hingham, and the blood drive will run from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. More information can be found online at oldcolonylodge.org.
Yes, it's springtime. Time to awaken. Time to consider our relationship with our planet. The average American drives a distance halfway around the Earth each and every year. If you headed east, you're in Italy, just south of Mount Vesuvius. If you headed west, you're at Midway Islands, just south of the Empire Sea Mountains. The point is, volcanic eruptions above and below sea level are tough on cars. So if you got a broken windshield, Tiny comes to you, replaces your windshield, insurance pays. I'm Peter Brown. Usually, we get to where you are just about right away. Just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Got them safe. All right, we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And our next guest is here, Jerry Thornton. One of my favorite guests, other than Sheriff Joe McDonald, who gave us challenge coins. Pretty cool, huh?
That's really cool. It's about 400-pound. Would you say that's solid gold?
This is awesome.
Yeah. By the way, I am also one of my favorite guests of yours, too. I really like me.
Jerry,
I enjoy when you have me on.
Author of two Patriots books and Barstool sports writer.
Yes.
Here to talk everything Patriots.
Or whatever. Life, philosophy. We talk about Sheriff McDonald, who I go way back with, and coins. But no, I'm happy to talk anything with you. In fact, let's just spoon a little while. Let's just go all Joe Biden on each other. Sniff each other's hair.
Just don't kiss me on the top of the head. It gets me all kind of...
Why stop now, KT?
But you know what's funny you say that is I was saying to myself when I saw the report last night on TV, and like, why is this coming out now? Although she is of the same party. But it's just interesting that it's like, why wasn't this brought up when it happened? Why are we waiting to now?
Welcome to politics in 2019, my friend. And by the way, they had a Supreme Court justice last year who the same questions were being asked, and people were shouting. It just depends on what uniform you're wearing. If you're on the blue team or if you're on the red team, you sit there and you scream, why didn't this come out now? Quiet, we need to believe all these women until it's your candidate. And you go, why didn't this come out now? Quiet, we need to believe all these women. It's such a mess. It's such a colossal cluster fudge. In D.C., no matter what side you're
almost
rooting
had to
for.
Hit the 7-second button there.
Oh, no, I got that.
He's good.
I got this.
This guy's a pro.
I'm rusty, but I'm
this
a veteran.
This guy's a pro. Hey, rib shot. It's nice. I didn't know we had that stock today.
Yeah.
But it's funny. You talk about we didn't know until now. Now we're learning that Rob Gronkowski sold his condo. He is retired.
Yeah, I wrote about this today, and I think he bought that condo 2 years ago for $1.9 million and just sold it for $2.3 million. That's a 21% increase in 2 years. And I posit this theory for you to describe to discuss.
I think it's the signed jerseys
is
on the wall.
I saw one. It was number 47, Gronkowski. That would be his brother, Glenn, who never made the active roster. And that increased the value by 21%. And I throw this out to you. Is he sneaky a genius? And he's just been playing us all along. Like, remember when they came back from the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and he came into his house and immediately realized it had been broken into, and he had that kind of goofy, kind of guileless 911 call where he's just like, "Hi, this is Gronk from the Patriots. I just got home from the Super Bowl. My house is broken into." And I think he's just playing us for this. He's this dummy when, in fact, he's not. He's anything but. He might be a real estate mogul. Now, the Globe insists that his condo was purchased by Gordy Gronkowski Jr., an LLC run by him. Now, I saw The Big Short, and like most of us, the only thing I remember from that was Margot Robbie in a bubble bath. And the rest of it is just kind of like, blah, 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 people cheated, blah, 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 the little guy got hurt. Gronk might be secretly running a giant real estate scam, much to his credit, as long as they don't take draft picks.
Well, no, it's funny you say The Big Short. Wasn't there a concert filmed in that? Was it not an Aerosmith concert?
Where? It is.
In The Big Short? Or am I thinking the wrong movie? Oh, no, that's
The Big Short was Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. That was about Wall Street, right?
Well, it was the housing boom, and it was and Christian Bale.
Sure.
And did I mention Margot Robbie in a bubble bath explaining things?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I think Gronk might be that guy. Like, I'm not saying he's doing anything sketchy or illegal. Just kind of secretly, quietly, maybe friggin' awesome. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm signaling my guy. So
and by the way, if he was scamming anybody, I just hope it doesn't cost the Patriots draft picks. By the way, do you remember when things used to be, like, considered totally scandalous? Like, oh, I don't know, a 77-year-old man sniffing a woman's hair against her wishes. Like, that was like, oh, my gosh, how are we ever going to deal with that? Yeah, I remember when Tom Brady having a child out of wedlock with a beautiful actress who was considered shocking. I long for those days
now. Bridget Moynihan, right?
Yeah, now I long for the simple days of that, because anything shy of a man being linked to international human trafficking is now considered like nothing to us.
Let me, Ben.
Yeah, this makes for really good radio.
It does, yeah. We get a little silence here. Again, we're speaking with Jerry Thornton, talking about everything New England Patriots, anything in the world, anything that will pull up here on the computer. No, I have you in because I want to get you. You impressed me when you were on with Tom Lydon last week when we got the news fresh. You were flush with emotion.
Yeah.
About hearing the news. And, of course, Rob Gronkowski waited, 7 weeks? And everybody kind of, he's going to be back. He has been at the facility working out. He looks great. He's healthy. Oh,
he had taken a hot yoga class with some sports writer's wife who didn't know who he was, just an NFL player, like days earlier. So by way of full disclosure on this, I thought about, as soon as the season was over, writing two posts and having them ready to go. One, Gronk is coming back, and two, Gronk retires. Right. And just to have them ready, so that instant kind of rapid response thing. And it seemed like a lot of work, and I wasn't really sure. Well, I thought it was about a 50-50 shot he comes back. And the more time went on, the more that needle was pushing towards he returns. And so I didn't bother. And then I walked in the door last Sunday at 6 o'clock. I was out with the family somewhere, and I get a text from a number. It wasn't in my phone. I assumed it was a Barstool employee that just borrowed my number from someone. "Are you on Gronk?" And I go, "Yes," and not knowing what it was, and found out that that's what it was. And I just turned to the family and said, "I'm done for the night. I've got to jump on this and react in the moment and try to come up with some sort of an appropriate response." And then Fox 25 called and said, "You want to come in tonight? Okay, once I get my work done." And they were nice enough to have me on. But just in this fugue state that I was in, this catatonic, you know, just, you know, frozen with heartbreak and fear. Even though I kind of saw it coming, it's just, it was still hard to deal with in the aftermath, and it still sort of is.
But do you think he's done? Do you think there's a chance that, here's the thing, they've since put him on the retired list. Now, they have up until what, week 7 or 8 that he can come back? Okay.
Freeing up quite a bit of cap space, by the way.
What, about 8 mil?
Well, a couple of weeks earlier, Willie McGinnis was asked his opinion. NFL Network, and he said, look, here's what I think happens. This is just my opinion. I think he retires, and I think he gives it some time.
Spot on.
And then he comes in the middle of the season. Now, you could sit there and say, and, you know, my temptation would be, were it any other person, yeah, welcome to hot take culture, where you got to say something wild to just kind of break through the noise of, you know, 24-hour TV news cycle or whatever. But who is Willie McGinnis? Well, first of all, he's the guy who introduced Tom Brady to his pliability guru, Alex Guerrero, mm-hmm. and then by extension, Rob Gronkowski. So right. He's basically patient zero of the whole pliability pandemic that is sweeping Patriots Nation. He's plugged in, and he's tight with these guys. And you say, well, yeah, but a guy, you know, retiring and then unretiring, that's unheard of, right? Jason Witten from the Cowboys, also a very good tight end, retires not to nothing. He retired to the Monday Night Football broadcast booth, the sweetest gig in all of broadcasting. Now, objectively speaking, he was terrible at it. But he
was no Dennis Leary.
Yeah,
or Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. I liked Miller. That's a discussion for another time.
I was actually a Dennis Hoff. I apologize.
Yeah, he was not. He was not Tony Kornheiser, say, but he had this sweet gig, walked away from that and all the money involved with it, to go back to what? Catching passes from Dak Prescott, playing for Jason Garrett, and that lizardy, evil, weirdo Jerry Jones. Now, could Gronk come back mid-season and say, look, my body's refreshed, yep. I've managed myself, I'm in good shape, to catch passes from Tom Brady and probably be guaranteed a spot at least in the AFC Championship? Yep. Stranger things have happened, clearly. So I think it's a possibility. I will say this, to steal a phrase, Kevin, it's more probable than not. How's that?
Well, I mean, his agent has, Drew Rosenhaus, he has teased the fact that, well, Gronk hasn't told him this, but he thinks that, you know, there's a chance.
He's leaving it open.
Of course.
Just leaving that door open, that a door. Crack. It's not closed. I'm not throwing the bolt on there. I'm not setting the security code. If you want, you can just kind of
come
and go as you please. You have friends like that? Like, hey, don't even knock. Just come in. The dog will bark but wag its tail because it knows you. And I think the dog will bark and wag its tail if anytime Gronk shows up on the facility and says, let's get this thing done. And, you know, I can get if he's really sincere. I you can see it. He made that catch to set up the only touchdown of the Super Bowl, a championship play. And I can see you saying, okay, I'm so beaten down that I want to end my career on an exclamation point, not a question mark, not an ellipses. To use a current example, would you rather have Gronk hanging around like Dustin Pedroia? Or just have a guy say, you know what, I'm done. I'm going out on top. The answer in my case is I just want him to keep playing. I miss him already, and he's not even gone.
But here's the thing is, and you had to have been saying it yourself as someone who covers the Patriots and follows what they do. And he didn't seem like himself while he was a phenom when it came to blocking. And the beauty of the thing that I think a lot of folks don't realize is that, and I'm just saying the folks who, you know, not the everyday fan, is, oh, he's great at catching. No, he was, the thing that made him great was not only could he catch, and not only could he do it in prime moments, clutch moments,
yes.
but he was a hell of a blocker, too.
Yes.
He was like a sixth offensive lineman when needed.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, caught passes and got yards after the catch like nobody ever has. But you take those guys who people try to compare to him and show me which of his contemporaries basically block like another left tackle. And this year in particular, it showed up because they sort of transitioned to more of a run game where he was limited in his ability to run routes, and he was a devastating blocker throughout the playoffs. Time and time again, he was just crunching people and opening up lanes for Sony Michel and then Rex Burkhead. And then had enough left at the end when they really, really needed it most to have enough of that spark to end up winning them a championship. Now, as far as, well, what happens if he's not around? I mean, they can't possibly survive without him. Like always, my football guru, the guy that I most check with on all things football, is Charles de Gaulle, who said, cemeteries are filled with indispensable men. When was the last time the Pats won a Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski? It's been 3 years.
Right.
When was the last time they won one where he was sort of limited? Last year. Right. Last year was his poorest statistical season since his rookie year.
Sure.
Again, because the NFL, and this is a side beef, but while I'm on a roll here, the NFL has had two sets of rules, one for everybody in the league and one for Rob Gronkowski.
Yep.
And you can get away with doing virtually anything to him, any kind of harm, throwing arm bars on him while he's trying to pull a ball down, dive at his knees, hit him in the head, no flags.
Look at the offensive pass interferences that he would constantly face, pushing off. And
yes, and
but you can challenge that this coming year.
but 1 year too late. Now that he knows that, maybe he'll come back. But I think the officials just, and they shouldn't do this, it's what I call the NBA-ification of football, which is they just said, yeah, but how else are you going to stop the guy? Well, you don't. Like, tough. He's a physical specimen you can't bring down. That just doesn't mean you go, yeah, but in his case, you know, if you want to use a lead pipe or, you know, if you want this to be a game of Clue, you know, it was the defensive back with a candlestick in the conservatory, but there was no actual crime here. I don't care. Like, he's too good to bring down. Then you deal with that. You should have drafted him. But no, they allowed other things to happen.
Okay, we're speaking with the great Jerry Thornton, author of two Patriots books. And also a writer for Barstool Sports here in
studio.
By the
way, those books are From Darkness to Dynasty and Five Rings. Soon to be updated. I think I'm just going to skip right across and just make it Seven Rings. Tag with it. Why am I going to waste my time on a reissue of a, you know, basically the Patriots turned it into the laser disc of football books. Like it was perfectly.
It was fine.
Cutting edge technology for about 5 months, and they made it obsolete. So I'm going to update that.
I'm sorry.
But no, thank you.
You can't just like, you can't reissue it and just like cross out the five and put a six.
I'm all about it. Let's just slap new covers on that thing.
You look at Gronkowski's announcement, and it comes on the heels of Trey Flowers heading to Detroit, where by rights Gronk should have been traded to last year, but it was like, I'm not going there. I want to play with, you know, number 12. And then Trent Brown goes off with the Raiders. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we thought we had defensive coordinator and Greg Schiano, because I know that Greg has always wanted to play. He always wanted to coach with Bill Belichick. Just unceremoniously says, yeah, like religion and spending time with my family is kind of, it's kind of top of my list right now. 2 months after, you know, you kind of came on without a title, huh? These losses, I mean, are they going to mount up to a hill of beans come the training camps and the first game in September?
You know, a year ago, they had what I called the worst 24 hours in Patriots offseason history, where they lost starting running back Deion Lewis. They lost Danny Amendola, who was their starting slot receiver the year before. They lost Nate Solder, their starting left tackle, and Malcolm Butler, their starting cornerback, and then made a trade of there was another body in there that they traded. I'll think of who it is. But the point is, they had this huge drain of.
You're not talking about Cordell Patterson, are you?
No, they traded away another starter, and I'm just I'm having a mental yip here. But the point being that you said, okay, well that's a lot. How are they going to make up for this? They updated each and every one of those guys.
Mm.
They got a better player. Trent Brown last year was a better player than Nate Solder had been the year before. They got Jason McCourty, who was better than Malcolm Butler.
Sure.
You know, you can...
play in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Sony Michel.
Save the football, right.
So the point being that, look, Trey Flowers, okay, yeah, that's a loss, but where did Trey Flowers come from? 4 years ago, he was the 101st pick in the draft.
Fourth round.
And again, is he indispensable? No. Trent Brown, I loved him. I thought he was a revelation, but he was making $2 million a year, and now he's the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL.
With Nate Solder.
Yeah. And who are they going to replace him with? How about their number
Isaiah
one draft
Wynn.
Pick yeah. last
Isaiah
year?
Wynn, right.
The 23rd pick.
IR all year.
Yes, they have a bunch of guys that are coming back. With the exception of Michelle, their entire draft last year is returning as in college what they call red-shirted freshmen. And they pick up Michael Bennett for Trey Flowers. Now, Trey Flowers will leave, as will Trent Brown. They'll get compensatory picks for them last year through a complicated formula, which when Malcolm Butler left, they got the 101st pick for him, which is where they drafted. It's where they got Trey Flowers.
Right.
So this is the genius of the Patriots. If I were an NFL agent, I would take all my veterans and just say, you're going to go to New England for 1 year. Make the minimum 1 year, and then we will cash in.
Right.
Trent Brown cashed in on one good season. I wish him nothing but the best, but if he reverted to form and was all of a sudden like this guy that coaches said we can't get anything out of him, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. And then Wynn will step in, and Dante Scarnecchia will turn him into.
I was going to say that Dante Scarnecchia did not go along with that signing. I think he is the secret sauce in Belichick's, mix.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that offensive line, you can have a bunch of bums on there, and he's able to get them to get the technique down and be able to protect Tom. Hey, just
right.
Protect Tom at all costs, open holes.
And be
Jack
in,
Mason is great.
And
your
be
interior.
In sync with the other linemen, know their assignments, and being able to do multiple things and so on. I just hope that when Solder left, and then when Brown left, that there was a little something waiting on Dante Scarnecchia's desk. A little something, green pieces of paper in an envelope. Dudes, if you're not
it's
tipping
like
him, oh, yeah, then you are.
Bag full of
money. You are doing a serious disservice. I was on, and I don't want to feel like we're cheating on each other, Kevin, so I'm going to be honest with you and be upfront. I did a call into a New York radio station promoting the book, and off the air, the host just said, hey, I could ask you something. What the F is up with Nate Solder? He's terrible. How is he so good for you guys?
God.
And now we're paying him all this money, and he's going to hit Eli Manning killed. And all I could do is laugh and say, all right, well, Trent Brown, they replaced him with the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life. I go down to camp. They can only estimate Trent Brown's size by the way starlight curves around his mass.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when they drafted Solder, that they were doing the Julian Edelman experiment by taking this kid who was an offensive lineman and maybe converting him into a tight end or something.
Because he had been a tight end as an underclassman.
Yeah, and he was just this skinny kid. I'm like, who's he going to stop?
You know what? I read something interesting prior to that draft. They said the Patriots will draft Anthony Costanzo from BC if they need to replace Matt Lai right away. If Matt Lai comes back for another year, they're going to draft Nate Solder. Oh, I'm sorry. This is embarrassing. I was the one who wrote that. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I sitting there? Gosh, Kevin, I'm sorry. Am I bragging about the fact that I was right about yet another Patriots draft pick, of which I have a long series?
Wait, hold on now. Well, let's tap into your genius here while we have you for a few moments. Let's get to speak with Jerry Thornton. Do they do like they did in 2010 and go, let's make sure that one of the tight ends we draft is a bona fide killer and goes to prison? But do they go deep into the well and draft a couple of tight ends and then try to, fix other things?
Yeah, and their thing is that they don't draft for need, that they draft for talent and they let it sort itself out. If ever there was a year to draft for need, this is it.
Yeah.
And if ever there was a year to draft for tight end need, this is the year to do it, because it's an A class. It really is. Like, there's there is talent at the top, and there's some depth there. So, you know, the top picks will probably be out of their reach drafting at 32. It's the Patriots a lot in life. It's not a lot, but it's their life. Mm. They're always drafting towards the end of the round. So I'll throw out this name for you, Irv Smith Jr., University of Alabama.
Sure. And isn't there a kid from Texas Tech?
There's two guys out of Iowa, and I'm having a bit of, I should have studied up for this, okay, for this interview, but it's one, okay, is,
we were just going to focus on Gronk, so you're good. Yeah. This is bonus. This is gravy. You know, when you pour a little bit of gravy, yeah, we've really poured the whole, you know, thing of gravy,
yeah,
on it.
Oh, so, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm all about, I'm gravy, just rambling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's one who's that prototype Gronk, like he can block, he can run or whatever. There's another guy, Noah Fant, also from Iowa,
okay,
who is more of that. And I need a new tight end that I can compare people to when he's not really required to be a blocker, but he's sort of a big wide receiver. I can't compare him to the guy that went all Dexter on us anymore. You know, like you could do that for a while, but now I need someone who's not going to go all, you know, like shooting McMurder on everybody.
That was good. I like the Dexter reference.
Exactly. But Noah Fant will be that guy, but I think they need a couple of tight ends. I think Josh McDaniels has always striven to create that. It's called the Joker offense, which is a two tight end set. And, you know, Dwayne Allen was never going to be the pass catcher that they wanted to be.
Now with Brian Flores now.
Right. Right now, if he got open in a pattern, it was more likely that Brady would throw the ball to Kevin Tocci sitting in section 301 than he would throw it to Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, so, he didn't really catch much.
Yeah, if they could get that guy who's capable of doing both, but then get that primary, you know, traditional wide tight end, it would be a huge bonus.
Probably one of my last questions before we wrap up, and we thank you for coming in, is
it going to be about the Orchids of Asia Day Spa? I only went in there for a back rub. I had a crick in my neck.
No. Okay. Absolutely right. Not. And it won't be about whether or not Robert Kraft will be exonerated, but will Bill Belichick, will he end up being ultimately the DC this year? Because who else? I mean, Gerard Mayo, who they just called from Tommy Curran's TV set.
You know what? They still have Brett Bielema on the staff, and even if
is he the line coach?
Head coach of the University of Arkansas. He's only been a defensive assistant consultant. I actually thought he was going to get the DC job because he goes all the way. He was with them all last year,
sure.
And his wife, by the way, is a smoke show. Like you look at him,
a
and you look
smoke,
at her,
smoke show, or just a straight up one.
Just you, but okay. You're like, I have a scientifically perfect method of gauging human attractiveness, and there's such a disparity between the two of them. He's like a 3.8, and she's like an 8.6, and I don't know how he did it, but like, so she...
Some good math right there.
Yeah, she fits right in with the Patriots culture of guys with super hot wives. So even if he doesn't have the DC thing by title, I think probably he is the guy holding that Cheesecake Factory menu in front of his mouth on game days while Belichick makes
definitely good to know. And if folks want to follow some of the stuff you're working on?
Yes, I'm at Jerry Thornton 1 on Twitter. I'll retweet a lot of those things. JerryThornton.net has appearances and so on. But every single day, find me on Barstool Sports. I write under my own name because I wasn't clever enough to come up with an internet moniker.
Jerry Smith or something, yeah.
Yeah, no.
But, Jerry, thank you so much for coming in.
Kevin's a pleasure.
And thanks
to the whole staff at ATD for having me. I love you guys.
You got it. All right, we're gonna say goodbye. Of course, Stan and the gang, South Shore Live, up next. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.